All right, dude, let's do it.
All right, hey, Dallas, thanks so much for just giving us a few moments of your time just to talk everything. I'd be remiss to say if I wasn't a huge fan, just growing up watching it. You mind if we do this a little bit? I touch on a little bit of wrestling, but then we jump into DDP?
Sure.
Yoga?
Sure.
I mean, like,
sure.
You were an inspirational story starting off because you started in wrestling a little bit later than most people. In fact, you started off as a manager with the Diamond Stats with Scott Hall.
Well, actually, I started before that. I tried when I was 22 to be a wrestler, but it didn't work out for me. And then I was heavily in the nightclub business. And during that time, I decided I'm going to try to be a manager. And I sent a videotape to the AWA, and they picked me up. And I ended up managing the tag team champions of the world, Bad Company, and Medusa Michelli, the women's champion. Who later going to be Alundra Blaze and be a WWE Hall of Famer. And I went to Florida Championship Wrestling and worked with Dusty. And Dusty Rhodes took me under his wing. And then eventually he left there and went to WWE and did the polka dot thing. And then came back to WCW to run it. And he brought me in as a manager. And I managed Scott Hall, I managed the Freebirds, I actually created Scott Hall's whole gimmick that would later become Razor Ramon, and then they told me basically they weren't going to let me manage guys anymore, and next thing I know, I got 7 months left on my contract, and I'm seeing my career go down the tube, and I'm like, the hell with this, I never wanted to be a manager, I want to be a wrestler, and I had 7 months after my contract, so I went down to Power Plant, which was the predecessor to the WWE Performance Center, and learned how to wrestle, and everybody thought I was crazy. They said it couldn't be done, because I was 35 and a half at the time, and, it wasn't so much proving them wrong as it was proving me right.
Hey, and it worked, man. We see the proof right now. And quite honestly, you ever think starting late gave you the maturity to keep your focus and, you know, keep your head on straight and not get distracted?
Yeah, that's a good point. I often say that one of the hardest things about becoming a wrestler was I was starting at 35 and a half. But one of the best things was that I was starting at 35 and a half because I was a little bit more mature than I would have been if I started at 25 or 22. There was a lot of things that I did that were kind of crazy, no matter what, but there's, I'm sure, things I would have done that would have been way crazier, you know, if I had been another 10 years younger. So, I think life teaches you, constantly teaches you lessons by humbling you and making you learn from your mistakes.
I mean, and quite honestly, I mean, yeah, because since you started that late, you got a chance to kind of really understand what it is, and you just said you were under the tutelage of Dusty Rhodes, so I only imagine, like, he was just all about the business, and quite honestly, that's a great mentor to have.
No shit. Between him and Jake the Snake Roberts, I was pretty lucky when it came to having mentors in this business. As I went along, the reason that they helped me was because I worked my ass off.
Yeah, and it shows because a lot of the stuff, especially during the WCW days, it was more you were the guy. You were the people's champion. Quite honestly, I know that's not a name. I mean, that's just a title, but I used to watch you, and this is a little, I'll just put all my cards on the table. I used to watch you when it was magnetized as a teen or early teen, I guess, and I used to sneak and watch your main events because it was past bedtime. So I would watch your main events on mute, and I was still able to understand everything you did and said because it resonated with the people.
That's awesome. I always tell, when you can watch a movie or watch a match and not be in, you know, any sound, and you can still get people to react, you know you're doing something right, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, a lot of the stuff that you did then, I mean, like, I'm giving you the Cliff Note version of my notes, but, like, when you won the WCW championship the first time, that was awesome. But I believe, and please correct me if I'm wrong, the thing that just made you take off like a rocket is the night you rejected the NWO's offer. I have to talk about that because...
No, without question.
Please.
That was the rocket.
Please tell me.
That was the rocket center. I had that idea. It was my idea. And I was always thinking of a way, like, how could, because they're not going to think of the story that's going to get me over, you know, that'll make the fans actually care and resonate, you know, being the underdog. I guess it would be probably around 1996, Paige Joseph Falkenberg, my original given name, not my given name anymore, but back when I was born, Paige Joseph Falkenberg, once he stopped trying to become Diamond Dallas Page, this over-the-top, you know, wrestling persona, and Diamond Dallas Page started taking on Paige Joseph Falkenberg's character and work ethic and, you know, and just took Paige and pumped him up to 13 on the 1-10 chart, you know, people started to, you know, to get with it. And I still didn't have the backing or the support of the office. They didn't really believe in me, and I get it, but I was little by little making one believer at a time. And when I came up with that idea about, you know, me rejecting the NWO, the only reason I could really do that was because of the time and the work that I put in early on managing Scott Hall and creating his Razor Ramon gimmick before it was Razor Ramon. It was called the Diamond Stud. and Kevin Nash being tag team partners, and Kevin Nash called me today. We're best friends. And, to actually be there and, have the real relationship with those guys. So when I said, you want me to come in now to the NWO at number 8, like, what happened to 3 or 4 or 5? I mean, screw you guys. I'm not doing it. I got my own stuff. You know, part of that was the real deal, too. It was like, without those guys, it never happens. But the character and the man, Dallas Page, didn't need anybody to tell me where I was going to go or what I was going to do. You know, I had a mindset that it was going to happen, and it happened. And it just doesn't start and stop with a mindset. It starts and starts with a mindset, and then you got to put the work in. You got to put the time in. And then you got to take a lot of nicks and bumps and fall down. And, you know, it's not about how many times you fall down. It's how many times you get back up.
That's right.
You know, and you got to learn from your mistakes. And that was my character as Diamond Dallas Page, the wrestler. But that was my life. And it just resonated, you know, with the people. And when I cut promos, like, I mean, there was times where I was on the mic and in the crowd and saying, they said I'd never be a top guy. They said I'd never be a main eventer. And then I said, they were wrong. I was talking to the office.
True.
I wasn't talking to the people. I was talking to the people who wrote the storyline. You know, and decided who's going to go up and go down. It's like, I did this with you fighting me the whole way. You know, and you ain't going to get me just to fall off. And it was a hell of a run, man. I got to live the dream, very thankful to the fans and to God for allowing me to live a dream that, you know, most people can't even imagine.
For sure. I mean, and like, you talk about The Rock going off and having that mindset. I don't think the top brass at WCW is going to put stock in the guy teaming with Karl Malone, going against their top guy, Hogan and Dennis Rodman. I remember that match at Bash at the Beach. And at that point, I watched that. Now, like, that is a guy who's essentially did it all at that point. Talking about yourself.
It was, yeah, right, without question. You know, it was, and Bischoff, like, that was my idea. I came over to Bischoff's house, and I said, I got an idea, man. What about, you know, Rodman and Hogan against me and Malone? I go, have you seen what Malone's been doing this year? I mean, he's the MVP this year. I mean, he is the man in the NBA. He's my buddy. And he wants, you know, he would get involved in this whole thing. And Bish hadn't really been really known who Karl Malone is. And a lot of people, because he was in Utah, didn't really know who Karl Malone was. But Karl Malone is the second leading scorer of all time in the NBA.
He was right after Akeem. Yeah.
Right after Jabbar, right. You know, like, he dominated for damn close to 20 years. You know, and once Bish saw that they swept L.A. that year 4-0, and once he saw him dominate Shaq, who was a monster, he called me up. He said, let's do a deal. So the next thing I know, we were on a friggin' jet to Salt Lake City and cut the deal with Karl Malone, and we had a blast, man. And, like, that's that match there really put me on the map when it came to, I guess, for mainstream people who didn't know who Diamond Dallas Page was.
Right.
And then they saw me on The Tonight Show with Karl Malone and with, you know, Bischoff and, not Bischoff, but Hogan and Rodman. Dusty Rhodes had no idea. He was watching The Tonight Show, and when he saw me walk out there, the guy who walked into his office, God, how many years before that? 88, 10 years earlier, you know, wild-eyed kid, 30 years old, talking dreams, you know, to Dusty Rhodes, a living legend, you know, one of my favorite performers and people of all time. You know, for him to see me walk, he said, D, when I saw you walk across that stage, I just thought, my God, he really did it. Like, at a whole different level, because now that transcends wrestling. You know, we didn't shoot that angle between Rodman and Hogan on the wrestling show. We shot it on the world stage, and that shit had never been done before.
Yeah, and it was awesome. Because, it, like you said, it made the mainstream people. All right, let me, and I'll give you some real-world experience with that. My mom and dad, before that, had no idea who Diamond Dallas Page was. You were always, oh, you're that guy my son watches. Oh, you're that guy who did that wrestling thing. But the next morning, they were calling you by name.
Right.
All right.
It changed. Yeah. It changes.
Speaking of changes, so, and this is going to be my last, I guess, one of my last wrestling questions. You were one of the few people who were able to work with both bosses, Bischoff and McMahon. How do you compare the two?
Both are geniuses, and both are ridiculous work ethic, and both know how to dream of what they saw, and they made it both happen. You know, Bischoff told me, I can't tell you how many times. Eventually, you know, we are going to beat their ass. We are going to be number one. And I thought he was, you know, a guy who I knew didn't smoke pot. I thought he was smoking something, you know. So, honey, I got no idea where I'm going. I'm driving with my wife right now. But
okay.
you know, the bottom line is Bischoff saw it. Just like I saw stuff before, what I was doing and where I was going. Bischoff saw his destiny. And, man, he pulled it off, and we almost put them out of business. I mean, I never wanted to do that. I wanted to always be a place for the Bulls to work, like multiple places. So I never wanted to put them out of business, but Fish wanted to knock Vince out, long story short, the only reason it didn't happen, was because, the ratings shifted. And when the ratings shifted, our overhead was so high, and Warner Brothers never liked wrestling. And Warner Brothers owned our company. So they canceled wrestling. And I thought, so Vince didn't really win the war. That guy, Jamie Kilmer, came in. We were doing ratings like a 4-4, 4-2, which is huge. They just killed it. And I wonder... Because Bischoff was buying the company for $50 million. And he was taking $30 million in contracts. So that was an $80 million turnaround that they just said, we're canceling wrestling. And they sold it to Vince McMahon for $5
million.
Wow. So now I have to ask myself, well, did Vince actually get to Jamie Kilmer? And did he get them to cancel wrestling and pay Jamie on the side? And I thought, well, if that happens, then Vince McMahon absolutely won the war. We'll never know. We'll never know, but it's an interesting, conspiracy.
Oh, yeah. I'd never thought of that, in that way. I just thought he just straight up did it, and that was the end of the story that's being told. But, that's something to look into.
No one ever talks about that because most people don't know. I mean, I know that story. Bischoff knows that story because it happened to him. I mean, he went to Brad Siegel and he was like, listen, tell Kilmer that just give me a month. I will sell this show somewhere else. But impossible to sell a show when you don't own it.
Yeah.
So bottom line is, I mean, they just killed it. So there was something going on there. I don't know what the hell it was, but the bottom line is... Vince won, and that was the end of it. And I'm not thankful in that way because a lot of people lost their jobs. But for me, I'm only three times where to go, though.
It kind of worked out.
It worked out good for me in the long run.
Yeah.
Because they own everything now. And, I'm one of their world champions. And they can't ever take that away because it's in the record books. And I got the WWE Hall of Fame ring.
Right.
So, it's like you can't take the they didn't do good by me coming in because they had a point to make against WCW. It wasn't me personally, it was the company, and I get that. But they took super good care of me the last 7 years. And I'm thankful because I go on WWE shows, I'm wearing my DDP yoga t-shirt.
Yeah.
You pull me up in the game. One of the game options
is the DDP yoga. Yes,
DDP yoga T-shirt. So bottom line is, like I said, they treated me very good, and I just love staying a part of the family. I've been asked to do certain things, and I turned them down because I know that would ruffle some feathers, with the office. So I just, I love my relationship and. I had a hell of a run, man. I had a hell of a dream.
Hey, one thing I can say, when you talk about the last 7 years, Dallas, you are in better shape now than you were 7 years ago. You ever thought about having one more match?
No way, dude. I feel too good. I feel too good. Hold on one second. I asked my wife, baby, I have no idea how to get to where we're going. So just pull up your tracker. So, bottom line is, segues us into, yoga, which, again, people need to understand that I'm the guy who wouldn't be caught dead doing yoga.
I was going to ask that. You don't strike me as that guy. You do not strike me as a yoga dude.
I wasn't, but when you start wrestling at 35, your career takes off at 40, and then you're on top of the world. I mean, I just got finished with the Malone and Rodman and Hogan thing and the Leno thing, and now I was living the dream on such a level, being Goldberg for the world title, and then I blow my back out, and I just signed a multi-million-dollar three-year deal. I would do anything. And what I've learned, that yoga was really helpful to the healing of my body. And what I did is I took those yoga positions and I mixed them with the rehabilitation techniques, the old school calisthenics, and then something that's like, I call it dynamic resistance. It's what it is time under tension, engaging and flexing muscles that, you know, every time you flex or engage your muscle, your heart has to be faster to get the blood to the muscle. So what I created completely by accident was what is now known as DDP yoga, is a kick-ass cardiovascular workout that dramatically increased your flexibility and strengthened your core like never before with minimal joint impact. Today, on the roster, I mean, the list goes on and on, the guys that do it, but the guys who stand out are Chris Jericho, for sure.
Yeah.
Who blew his back out at 41, started doing DDP yoga in less than 3 months. He was headlining at WrestleMania with CM Punk. And those surgeons said the same thing to him. Your career is over. Well, DDP yoga later, no, it's not. And then you can, you know, list everything from Daniel Bryant doing my stuff to Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn. AJ Styles at 40 is still moving around like he's 24. He's such a stud. He's unbelievable. The newest, youngest, hottest talent coming up right now, Drew McIntyre, he drove 7 hours from Tampa to get with me and spent time working with me one-on-one, and then turned around that night and drove 7.5 hours back to Tampa. And that's how much, that's the kind of work ethic that kid's got.
Now,
and
that's crazy.
You know, I got from Chael Sonnen, you know, he's still hanging in there, you know, in the Bellator, UFC fighting. I just sent my stuff to Robbie Lawler, one of the baddest SOBs in the UFC. And I got some Detroit Tigers that are doing it, that are on the on the AAA, but you're about to see a couple guys branch up. And these guys are wanting to, to be able to, they're trying to not, preventative maintenance, not getting hurt. So,
I mean, I tried it because I had the DVDs, because I used to get real bad shin splints when I ran and jogged. It's just, old age kicking in and I can't do it like I used to. And what made me do it, I heard Jericho, I heard Foley, and then I watched the Arthur story. And then I was like, if Arthur could do it, I totally can. And my knees felt so much better after just doing some minor stretches with it.
Yeah, stretching and strengthening, and that whole time under tension thing where you're flexing and engaging, and it helps to break up the scar tissue, which is why your knees feel better. Like, I have to do it every day, at least a little bit, and I feel great. But if I don't, then I start feeling, beat up and crusty and inflexible and just beat up. I'm still like a Ferrari, but I got 998,000 miles on it. I just got to stay ahead of it. I have a lot of things that I do that help me hold back the hands of time. So, bottom line is, I try to share it with people and anybody who wants the program. All they got to do is go to dvpyoga.com. It's all there. If you're old school and you want DVDs, we got them. If you dig it and you understand that the future is a DVP Yoga Now app, well, you can go on to iTunes or Google Play, or I always say suggest people to go to dvpyoga.com, because there you're going to get it at a way better deal, because it's 20% off on the DVDs and the app. And you're going to try the app out. It costs you nothing. You get to try it for 7 days. And if you dig it and it works for you, keep it. If you don't, drop it. So that you can't get any better than that.
Oh, yeah.
And at this point, I've got the app down to if you can't get out of bed, I got three workouts for you in bed.
That's awesome.
If you can't get out of the chair, I got six workouts going to help you get that hell out of the chair. And then once you get out of the chair, you're going to need some stabilizers. So I'm going to do what I call stand strong, and you use a chair to balance and help yourself get up and down. And before you know it, you don't need the chair. And then you go off to beginner, intermediate, advanced, or you can even do my psycho extreme workouts. So really, I got it all from A to Z. My brother, I got another 2 minutes. You got to touch your last question.
All right, I got one last question. I'm fast-forwarding a lot of it. Man, I just wanted to say this. This is more of a comment than a question. I love you as a fan. I love your work ethic and your positivity, especially after watching Resurrection of Jake the Snake. You ever thought about writing a book?
Well, dude, you couldn't have given me a better segue. There is the Royal Rumble, and in January, I will be dropping at the Royal Rumble Diamond Dallas Page's Positively Unstoppable, The Art of Owning It. And it is an in-depth book that is going to give you the knowledge of how to own it, whether it's your eating, your fitness, your lifestyle, your attitude. You know, it's how I accomplished everything that I've accomplished in my life. And it's all about the story you tell yourself. And I help you train your brain the same way I show you how to train your body, and then train yourself to eat the food that's going to be amazing for you, but at the same time, it's going to taste amazing. Because if it don't taste good, I don't care how good it is, I ain't eating it.
Yeah, I'm one of those guys, too.
Yeah, so I don't expect anybody else to either. So the bottom line is, Positively Unstoppable, it will be up for pre-sale probably in the next 30 to 60 days on Amazon. So be looking for it. You want to follow me, go to DDPYoga.com and get on my mailing list, or DDPYoga.com, get on the same mailing list, or you can go to Twitter at RealDDP, at DDPYoga. And or if you want to see what people really say about my program, go on Facebook and go to DDPYoga on Facebook. Read what people say. Don't listen to a word that I have to say. I mean, people that chant your name, whether it's DDP or Stone Cold or Rocky or Hogan or Goldberg, they gotta be captivated. They have to be invested in the character. It's the same thing as when it comes to people writing stuff about you on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram. They have to be physically and mentally captivated with what you're doing. And right now, I challenge anybody to find something for someone talking good about what we're doing, because what we're doing with DDP Yoga is a real deal. My friend, it was great talking to you. Appreciate your time.
Oh, thank you so much, Dallas.
Success.
Hey, Dallas, one last thing, and it's a quick one.
Sure.
Hey, around the time the book comes out, do you mind if we talk about it, or you come on for a quick 5 minutes, later on?
When you know it's coming, and we can do the pre-sale, stick it up and we'll do it together. All right, buddy?
All right. Hey, Dallas, man, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for calling into the podcast. And I look forward to seeing you at Motor City Comic Con.
You got it, buddy. Look forward to seeing you there. It's going to be fun. Motor City's going to be a lot of fun.
All right.
See you, buddy.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.